everybody. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show on Sunday, December 18th. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith. And?
Ash Riot.
Ash Riot and Cheryl Catherine Smith are in the house here with Travis. You might hear a little jingle jangle once in a while. He's just relaxing. He's getting ready for Christmas. He's got his Christmas stocking. And we're getting ready for Christmas, too, but we also want to acknowledge and honor all of the celebrations that are occurring around this time and just sort of touch on them a little bit. And we invite you to call in for our show. It's called The Universal Spirit of the Holiday Season. Ash and I are going to talk about what this holiday season means to us, and we'd love to hear your thoughts and, you know, sharing the special memories that you have of Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Diwali or whatever it is that you celebrate. And even if you don't celebrate anything, if you feel the energy and the spirit of love that seems to kind of pervade this holiday season, as well as the spirit of crises and stress when you're trying to shop. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll just start off a little bit and talk a little bit about the different seasons. Now, I've talked about Christmas already and saying that's what I've been practicing Christmas ever since I was born. I'm a practicing Christmaser because I was born into a family that practices Christmas, plain and simple. And so that's my experience, although I have a lot of friends who are getting a song coming in. Thanks, Don. Actually, now that, you know what, Don, that's okay. That was Spirit saying, we need to say happy birthday to Don Newsome. Happy birthday, Don.
Happy birthday.
Oh, I love you, ladies. Thank you. You ladies are terrific. You know, it's been my birthday today, and I boo-booed the birthday boo-boo.
That's okay. Well, you know what? You're allowed boo-boos on your birthday, because it's all about you today. Tell us. Since you're on,
you can be our guest today.
You'll be our guest, Don. Tell us how you've celebrated your birthday.
You know, I actually worked. Would you believe it or not? I love working. I love what I do. I love I really do. It excites me. I love getting up in the morning. So being able to do this on my birthday is a blessing.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners exactly who you are and what you do for BBS? I think they'd be interested in knowing.
Yeah.
Nothing like putting you on the spot.
Well, you know, I'm one of the co-founders, and I engineer the programs, do a lot of the paperwork. It's pretty much live service and paperwork, and I split my life between the two.
And also your brother, who's your twin.
Yeah.
It's his birthday today, too. So you're co-founder with your brother, Doug, correct?
That's correct.
So
yes.
Happy birthday to Doug. I would love for you just to sort of tell our listeners, I mean, we found you through Barbara Leonard, who had a show on BBS, and she called it was her Inner Garden Online.
Does she still have it?
No, but she's doing a celebration
anniversary show
coming on Monday. Barb Leonard.
Great.
Yeah, maybe that's on Monday. I think it's 7 p.m. Is that correct, Don? Do you remember?
That's correct. 6:55 on station number 2.
Well, there you go.
Pacific
so listeners,
time.
If you an anniversary show for Reverend Barbara Leonard, who is the Reverend and the founder of the Inner Garden Chapel, and started, that's how I was introduced to BBS, was through Barb. And now we have Jeannie Martin, who's following us, and she's got her show, The Creative Field, and we're all tight friends. And I don't know if you're interested in just telling our listeners if they wanted to have a show. Do you want to just sort of tell them how to do it?
Oh, absolutely. What you'd want to do is send an email to me at Don, or send an email to contact@bbsradio.com, and don't forget to mention where you heard it, who referred you, of course, and that would be Hologram Radio. And once we get the email, we'll be in touch with you. We'll actually send you out a quick synopsis that you can peruse at your leisure, and then kind of gauge who we are and how effective we might be compared to your other sites that you're visiting or other websites. There's not many that do the live talk radio, internet talk radio service like we do. So there's only a few in the game, and we happen to be one of them. So you'll probably find us if you type in internet talk radio. And again, I'm Don. email me. We'll get you started quickly. It's there's no contracts, no commitments. If you don't like us, we're not holding you back. You get full rights to your products and your audio files, and you can do with them as you wish. So we do things a little differently here. To us, it's like being in, well, a salon. Yeah, you're doing a live service, and people keep coming back because they love their haircuts, their perms. And that's how we like talk radio. It's all about the radio hosts, their personalities, what they're doing. And so that's what we like to highlight.
Well, I'm really excited actually to share that, because I think a lot of people are wondering, you know, how they can do that. If they have an idea, or if they have a concept, or they have a passion that they want to share, they have the source and the medium to do that with BBS. So yeah. Thank you so much for telling us about that. I'm sure that you probably will get some emails from listeners and saying, hey, I think I should be a radio host. And you say, hey, I think you should too.
Well, I've never said no.
Well, there you go. You can have any kind of show.
That's right. Well, there's no restrictions, no censorship, no bleeping. You can say what you want. You can do what you want.
We can.
That's what we've
done.
We
swore by accident. We didn't know we'd be in trouble.
Yeah, so thank you, and happy birthday, Don.
Oh, I love you, ladies. It was such an honor. Thank you for having me on during my birthday. What a pleasure. What a pleasure. You ladies are wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. We want everybody to send you wonderful, loving thoughts and energy, especially on your birthday today, celebrating you.
I'll accept.
Yeah, this beautiful vision that you have, BBS Radio. So thank you, Don. Thank you for being so wonderful to us. And you've been great.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to get back to our program, which is the Universal Spirit of the Holiday Season. Happy to talk to Don.
Yeah.
He's actually been on our program the last couple times.
I know.
It's great.
Awesome. Yeah.
And we are sincerely thrilled with Don and his brother, Doug, and just they're just wonderful to work with. They're very supportive. And mm-hmm. He's right. I mean, you basically don't have to sign any contracts. It's a lot about honor, you know, and just kind of, you know, and trusting the universe, because not having to get in there and saying, well, this is how it has to be. It's just, I love that in business, you know, where people can, their word means something. There's no sense of you're going to violate something or you're going to, I have to control this because I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. And this is practicing what we preach pretty much, and if you call preaching what we do, but I mean, just the way we live, practicing the way we live is just having trust and faith,
important.
Right? In all things.
Really important.
So we did a bit of research, and as I was saying, I practice Christmas, but I've kind of changed it up a little bit, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. Do you want to talk about what you practice, Ash?
Well, I think Cheryl and I are exactly the same, because we were both born into Ukrainian families. So Christmas has always been really important to my family.
And Ukrainian Christmas is not on December 25th, by the way. It's January 6th, I'm correct.
Yeah, January 6th, I think, is Eve, and 7th is the Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
There you go.
And it might be 5th and 6th, but I think it's 6th and 7th. And we've always...
Bad Ukrainian.
Yeah. We've always had really, like, important Christmases, like, lots of family, and that's what it's about, and... Yeah, it's important, like, to feel a sense of something. And, I mean, even if you're not celebrating it, feel a sense of togetherness.
So what Ash and I want to do with this show, what our intention is just to sort of take a lot of the different celebrations that we each celebrate and bring them all together and see what is the thread that binds all. Because I've said this, I've actually quoted myself with this, was that all things, there's truth. Truth is illuminated in the consistencies that is found within and without all things. So when we kind of take the different traditions and see what binds them together, I think we get a sense of maybe even universally what this holiday is meant to be for each of us, because there's definitely an energy around this holiday season.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So we kind of did our little projects, and Ash was in charge of Hanukkah.
I was in charge of Chanukah.
Chanukah, there you go.
Chanukah. Well, first of all, before...
Oi!
I want to give everybody the new call-in number. If they're listening, they can, you know, just think about what they want to say and call in. The new call-in number is 888-627-6008. If you call in, you get free hugs.
Well, by who? The radio airwaves?
Yeah. by us in energy.
We'll energetically hug you. But we already are energetically hugging and
but they get a bonus.
They get a bonus hug.
Yeah.
We'll even kiss a tree for you.
Yeah, if you call in, the deal today is if you call in, you get an MP3.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Sure. That's a good one. We've got six songs out on iTunes right now, and if you call in, we will give you one of our songs.
Yeah.
We will send them to you, and you don't have to pay 99 cents.
Yes, you get it for free.
That's right, and you get to pick the one you want.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
That's our Christmas present
there
to
you. There
you go. Don't say that we didn't offer something awesome for Christmas besides our, like, energetic hugs.
Yeah, you get an MP3 of one of our songs and an energetic hug.
A bonus energetic hug.
So as I was saying, we're covering four different holiday seasons, and we're going to talk a little bit about them because it's about being inclusive, not exclusive. And so Hanukkah, Chanukkah, take it, Ash.
All right. So I want to talk a little bit. I never really paid much attention to Hanukkah.
Because you're not Jewish. Not in this lifetime.
That's so funny.
You're not Jewish in this lifetime.
No.
But you probably were in another one.
Maybe a few. But, you know, all I got to say is, wow, it's cool. And I thought that Hanukkah was just kind of something fun that, you know, you see in movies and people would be, like, dancing with chairs or something. And Adam Sandler would be in it singing a song about Hanukkah. Anyway.
And I like Adam Sandler.
I love him. One of my favorite movies is Big Daddy. And Billy Madison is good too. Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
He's so good.
But we digress.
Yep. So here it is what I got to say. Now, I'm going to read you a little bit about, like, I'm going to, you know, talk, but I'm just going to read a couple interesting facts about Hanukkah. First of all, though, the first Hanukkah was in 164 BCE.
So that's a little while ago.
That's not too long ago. And the reason it was celebrated, it was because it was celebrating the Maccabees' victory over the Syrian Greek rulers. So that's like the first real celebration of Hanukkah. Like it was really based around that whole victory.
About a war being won.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of not, hey, Jesus was born.
Well, no, it predates Christianity.
Exactly,
right?
A lot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, Judaism. As opposed to being something, you know, of a celebration.
Yes.
It's a celebration over something negative.
So it's a celebration of freedom, though.
Yeah.
Right? It's their idea of freedom. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily a negative thing. I mean, we're not pro-war.
Yeah.
And those of you who know us know we're not pro-war.
Yeah.
But this is history. So celebration of freedom.
Yeah. Well, and instead of, like, getting too much into the whole, you know, logistics of Hanukkah, like, just, like, kind of a couple basics that I found really, really interesting for anybody who celebrates Hanukkah is that the name Hanukkah is a Hebrew verb meaning to dedicate. And on Hanukkah, the Jews regained control of Jerusalem, and they rededicated the temple. The whole name behind it, too, is, like, it can be translated. It means to dedicate, but one of the main, I guess, let's say taglines of Hanukkah, it just means they rested on the 25th. So Hanukkah, to dedicate, they rested on the 25th.
But Hanukkah is a several days practice. Mm-hmm. It's not just one day. Like, Christmas
right.
is one day.
Yeah, but this is, like, over how many days is Hanukkah? Seven? No. See, I forget that. I read about it.
Is it nine? 9 days?
Let's see.
So we apologize to our Jewish friends for our lack of knowledge here, but we definitely honor your tradition.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think it's amazing because it's so particular. Like, even the way they light the candles. Like,
it's about ritual,
yeah,
right?
It's about ritual.
And tradition.
The menorah, it's about ritual and tradition. Like, it's actually really beautiful because the respect that goes along with Hanukkah is really important. It's not just like, oh, let's go crazy and buy each other presents. Like, it's not quite the same. This is really, like, I have the laws here, and it's the Talmud, and that's the basic laws, and you have the three options of how you light the candles, and one is it requires you to only light one light per household each night.
So there's what? There's nine candles on the menorah, or
yeah.
there 10?
I think there's 10. There's one big one in the
large
middle.
One
yeah.
in, okay, so you've got 10 chances of
yeah.
lighting in 10
yeah.
days. Different ways.
Yeah. And then, but it says a better practice is to light one each night for each member of the household, not just one household one night.
Yes.
Which I think is pretty cool because then, you know, everybody, even if there's two people in the household,
yeah.
you know, you get to each kind of partake in it rather than just one person from the household being the, I really like the unity of that.
Exactly. You're,
yeah.
you're acknowledging everybody, not one
yeah.
person takes precedence over another.
Yeah. And then, But the most preferred one is to vary the number of lights each night you light the lights, like just like change it every night.
So change where you light and how many you light.
Yeah, which I don't know. I prefer option two myself.
Every member of the household.
Yeah, exactly.
For the sense of community and unity.
Yeah,
yeah.
And but it's one really, like, they really respect the safety of Hanukkah too. Like they said, except in times of danger, the lights were to be placed outside one's door on the opposite side of the mezuzah, or in the window closest to the street.
What's a mezuzah?
That's the one thing I didn't know.
Well, if any caller knows what a mezuzah is, we welcome you to call.
You get two songs.
You get two songs. That's right.
But what I really basically, like, I mean, it's hard to. I'm definitely not schooled in Hanukkah. I feel like I've researched it enough to really understand the whole systematic spirituality, let's call it systematic spirituality, because it's so completely just done to a T. Everything has to be so delicately respected. And I really like that because, like, even just reading about it for the past few hours or whatever, just kind of researching it, I feel a real sense of, like, community because so much here, it's all about, okay, we have to spend $500 per kid, or we have to do, you know, it's, I don't like the commercialism of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And to see, and, like, I don't really often look into other religions, how they celebrate Christmas. Like, it's just not something I do.
They don't celebrate
right.
Christmas.
Right. And I don't, I'm, exactly. But you know what I mean, like, celebrate the holidays.
Saying. Yeah, yeah.
And it was really cool to see that there's people who really take it seriously, and it's not about commercialism.
I want to draw attention to the fact that they light lights. There's definitely a focus on the light, mm-hmm. right? Fire,
yeah.
Candles, light. Because everything that I've researched is all to do with light.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that really, really interesting.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm probably unlike most people. I feel very comfortable going into any church, mm-hmm. synagogue, temple. I feel at home because when I go in, I'm connecting with spirit, and to mm-hmm. me, spirit is in every one of those places. Mm-hmm. And so I think some people feel uncomfortable if it's not their particular religion and they don't feel that they belong, or if they don't know how to exactly do what it is that particular religion does. I don't worry about that at all.
No, because it's not
I go to celebrate the unity and to celebrate that conscious connection with
I understand
with
that.
A higher power
for
and
sure.
with the power that connects each and every one of us.
Because you're not going to church to praise the people or to any synagogue to praise the people.
Or to any temple.
Exactly.
It's
or
for
any
a connection,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's also to celebrate the unity and community
mm-hmm.
and the fellowship of each other. Well, thank you. I love that. And I feel the same way. I want to go to synagogue now.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I'm
exactly.
inspired.
And
let's get a menorah.
I may not know the most about Hanukkah, but just from what I've read, I was inspired to share what I shared. So.
Yeah, and it's not to desecrate anything. I mean, I think sometimes people get too caught up in their own religions that they think if someone else wants to sort of participate, they might view
it right
as a desecration. And they have to sort of get out of that mindset because there's nothing. It's only about celebration and connection.
Mm-hmm.
And recognize that, folks. I mean, try to understand that there's so many different religions and so many different philosophies and different practices mm-hmm. worldwide. And in order for us to really truly have love and peace and harmony on this planet, we have to start recognizing and acknowledging others, and instead of feeling that they are a threat to ours,
mm-hmm.
just to welcome it. And this is why we're doing this show, is we want
mm-hmm.
to show the thread that binds all of this together. And there's so much more that we can't even touch upon in this show because we need hours to discuss religion and celebration
well,
and
I mean,
philosophy.
It's a never-ending thing. Like, you just reminded me of something that I used to do. Well, me and my old friend, we used to go to temple on Sundays sometimes, and just like basically it's unity with like a lot of the Hindu culture.
Yes.
And just go and eat with them. And
yes.
It's like they never went like, oh, you're not one
here?
Of us. What are you doing here? They're, oh, there's so much for everybody. Come in. Like, they just wanted to share their abundance. And even if it was just like eating some dal and some bread, they welcomed you.
Yes.
It was, you didn't have to worry about going into somewhere where you didn't quite look like them, or it's just, that's a, I love that. I think that's how holiday season should be.
Well, the essence of each of us goes beyond our skin,
mm-hmm.
goes beyond the body,
mm-hmm.
goes beyond whatever religion we practice. The essence of us is who we truly
mm-hmm.
are. And I think most of us forget that. And we only see what we see, but mm-hmm. we need to see beyond. It's almost like those 3D pictures, you know, on a 2D surface, and some people can't mm-hmm. get them. You look at the page, you go, I can't see the image, I can't mm-hmm. see the image. Well, that's how I sort of relate seeing each other. We have to look beyond what's on the page and see the 3D dimension image, which is us, which is the essence of us, the soul of us, and that which connects us. I have a Sikh friend, and I love, she's really a close friend of mine, and she's absolutely beautiful, and she's kind of integrated Sikhism with Christianity, and it's really beautiful because I'm seeing a lot of integration mm-hmm. of religions, and it works, believe it or not.
It really does.
It's what resonates with each individual, mm-hmm. and she's so beautiful and so open, and I was invited to be at her temple for prayers and whatnot, and it was beautiful. It was a really beautiful experience, and so this reminded me of Diwali, which is popularly known as the Festival of Lights, and this is the festival that is celebrated between mid-October and mid-December, and for different reasons, because it's an official holiday in many countries, to include India, Nepal, Sri Lanka, Myanmar, Mauritius, Guyana, Trinidad, Tobago, Suriname, Malaysia, Singapore, Fiji. So there's a great deal of population on this planet who celebrate Diwali. Again, it's been kind of separated into sects, depending on if it's Hindu or you know, what religion or philosophy is celebrating it. But it falls on the new moon night, and this year it was October 26th, and they celebrate Diwali for 5 days. So here we have, again, we have Hanukkah mm-hmm. over an extended period. We have Diwali over an extended period. And the key there for me is the Festival of Lights. Once again, it's the lighting of the lanterns. Mm-hmm. And there's a ceremony with that, too. So you've got Hanukkah.
Adam
Sandler, that is doing the same thing. There's a reverence and a very essential, specific mm-hmm. attention to the lighting of a candle, the lighting of something to bring light. Mm-hmm. And this is what I found really interesting. And then we have, of course, Christmas, and you know, there's a lot of, this is something I've known for a long time because I've done public speaking for a while, and I'm actually a reverend, believe it or not.
Yeah, did anybody know that about you?
I don't know if they know that, but I was speaking in churches, and I'm really fascinated by the connection of mythology and religion. And Joseph Campbell is one of my favorites, and he speaks in depth about mythology, and in my research over the years, I've discovered there's many schools of thought that are connecting Horus with Mithras with Jesus. There's a connection between the three in terms of the dates of birth, the 12 apostles. There's a variety of connections, and rather than me going right into it, you can actually research it yourself and make your own decision, because this is something that you have to kind of make a decision around. And nothing is negating the reality of a man named Jesus who was here, or the reality of a man named Mithras who was here 600 BC, or the reality of Horus. I mean, this is 25th century BC, and Horus is one of the oldest and most significant deities in the ancient Egyptian religion. And Horus eventually became the patron of pharaohs, and he was called the Son of Truth. And if you know the connection between Horus and Jesus, and we're going 25 centuries, and that's a long time. Mm-hmm. And I can understand how things can kind of read into each other, and it doesn't negate the reality of who was here, but we can actually lend kind of mythological tradition to certain, to different people who come in time and historically, because we're all searching, I believe, this is me, okay, this is Cheryl, and again, I get to practice sharing my belief systems or whatnot here, because this is our radio show. We get to tell you, but it's not to step on yours. This is just stating mine. I believe that everything is almost, it sounds really nasty. It is not meant to sound nasty, but recycled. And if you look historically, just really study history, you see that there's a lot of full circle events, like things kind of coming around again and around again. And you probably even noticed this in your own life, where your life can actually come full circle. You probably have said that before.
Oh, yeah.
Go, wow, I'm at a point in this brief life, in comparison to 25 centuries, our lifetime is nothing compared to 25 centuries of history, but in this brief lifetime, my life has come full circle how many times?
Oh, yeah, it's true. Like, you can feel it. Like, I mean, even if you're comparing to maybe a thought process that you had 20 years ago, or you see something in a movie that you go, holy shit, that's kind of like what I'm going through now. I mean, it's the same thing, because what does, you know, Hollywood or even movies, even if it's a B-movie or whatever, imitate? It imitates life, and so does history. It's history is life. So there's this whole big string, and sometimes there's so many coincidences, and so sometimes there's so many things that just blow your frickin' mind that you don't even know what to say. You just gotta live it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just also, I think one of the things I learned when I was getting out of my addiction and I was in recovery, early recovery, is I was told by a very wise man that I was thinking terminally uniquely. I thought I was terminally unique. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of addiction, terminal means that addiction will kill you eventually. Whether it kills you physically, it kills you emotionally and mentally. It takes you down. But I understood that in a bigger way, other than it goes beyond addiction, because we all think we're so unique. And it's not to take away our specialness, because mm-hmm. we are each special. But we're not that unique when we start looking at each other and start sharing our beliefs and our values and what really truly matters to each of us. I mean, if you were to take every single person on this planet and ask them what is the most important thing, what really matters, I think the majority, not all, would probably say love.
Oh, yeah.
And relationships.
That's what matters to people.
Well, being connected, a sense of community connection, and being loved and feeling appreciated.
But why is that the one thing that so many people steer away from?
Well, I don't know if they're necessarily steering away from it. I think we're so immersed in our own fears that we feel that we have to separate ourselves. And this is, again, about bringing kind of religion. And if we can unite religion, my goodness, what a difference this planet would be.
Oh, there wouldn't be war.
If all religions acknowledged and respected each other and just saw the thread that binds them. And, you know, we're talking about Christmas. Christmas is celebrated on December 25th. It's one day, but there is also the 12 days of Christmas. I was researching this, and this is where the 12 days of Christmas come from, is apparently there goes from December 25th to January 6th, which is known as the Epiphany, which means the acknowledgement of the Magi, which is the wise men, and that Jesus is indeed the true light of the world. Here we got again the mm-hmm. light of the world. Mithras was also seen in his time. He was the main Roman god for a good four centuries, and this is, we're going back 600 BC for the mm-hmm. Romans. And I was telling this to Ash when I was in England. I'm a huge historian. I just love history, and I love Roman history in particular. And I was just enamored with all of the Roman ruins that are in England, and I was plotting them. And there was one time there was a Mithraic temple that was in a field. And it's such a beautiful experience for me, because we're basically walking through a farmer's field where sheep are all around us. There's a little worn trail. There's no markers saying this way to the Roman temple. You're just basically going on some farmer's land and walking this well-worn trail without a soul in sight, and just coming and stumbling upon these ruins. And this Mithraic temple, it was in ruins, but the altar was still there, and they had a few of the benches in stone. It was quite amazing. I just love connecting to these. I'm very sensitive, so I get a really strong vibration and connection whenever I go to these places.
To me, there is nothing as, like, potent as seeing you walk into a church. like seriously. Like, you don't know. It's like, you know how you first, like, you see a roller coaster, and you're like, oh, that thing looks pretty wild. But then as soon as you get on it, it's like, holy crap. That's what it's like. Seriously. She has like a million sensories.
Well, I don't know. I'm just very, and you're very highly intuitive in that way too. Like, there's a real connection.
But there's something about you that just, like, as soon as, like, to think of you going in there, it's like, you're really going to do something to that church. I don't know. It's amazing.
Well, thank you for that. I just feel a real strong connection to the spirit that is in there that binds everyone mm-hmm. together. And I just celebrate that.
It's like you talk to the church and it talks back to you. I don't know what it is.
It's breathing. It's and I big. Can hear it breathing.
I don't know.
Well, this Mithraic temple was really something else for me. And I stayed there for a while, and I just felt the energy of that and connected with that. It was quite remarkable. And it was built for the Romans when Hadrian, at the time of Hadrian, they had the Hadrian's Wall, which was the extensive Roman power. They went right to, which is on the almost at the Scottish border now. So Rome extended, it was huge, right? You know, talk about the glory days of Rome. And so he would send all his soldiers to man the wall to make sure no barbarians would get through to Rome. And so they built forts, and they had to have the temples there for mm-hmm. them too. So if any of you ever go to the UK, I strongly suggest that you visit the many forts. There's Vindolanda. I just can't even off the top of my head. And go up to Cumbria. There's a lot of things other than Stonehenge that you can see that is relating to the Romans. And you could see their temples and you could see the way they lived. And it's quite fascinating. You know, again, our history. And looking back at our history and our belief systems, a lot of us are a little bit, dare I say it, ignorant. Because we believe that we adopt these belief systems because we learnt them from our parents, or our parents learnt them from their grandparents, or whatever it is. We don't realize how far back it goes. Mm-hmm. And when we don't realize how far back things go, we tend to get a little egocentric and a little narrow-minded mm-hmm. and start believing that our belief is the only way. And this is the fault that I find in religion at this point, is any person who says my way is the only way, I think is a little bit doomed.
Well, that I would like to call upon great lyrics of Tori Amos, who we just saw.
Yeah, we just saw her in concert.
Oh, it was freaking amazing.
It was amazing. Thank you, Tori. We love you.
We love you, Tori.
We're looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about fairies.
Yeah, and she has this one song called IE, and it's on from Choir Girl Hotel album. And the line always stuck out to me. It's about not being afraid to feel and shake things up. And the line is, we scream in cathedrals, why can't that be beautiful? And to me, that's really amazing because, truthfully, it's like we're taught kind of, okay, sit there, pay your respects, be quiet. Yet if you're having something move through you, even exercising some, you know, I'm not going to use the word demons, but, you know, you're just exercising a flow.
Can be a cathartic.
Yeah, cathartic.
You know, there's a lot of pain that a lot of us have that we need to release. And it's
especially
not...
Especially through religion.
It's not demon possession.
Because
I mean,
of
a
religion.
Lot of it can just be plain and simply just our deep, darkest depths of pain. You talk
yeah.
about the dark night of the soul. And those of you who've gone through the dark night of the soul know what I'm talking about. It's dark, it's deep, it's despair. In a lot, mm-hmm. And how does that come out? How do we experience that? Because anything that we need... I believe to overcome has to be felt.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's certain things that we need to overcome so that we can get to that place of bliss or joy or on the other side of it, we need to let it move through us. So mm-hmm. Tori, we're a big fan of Tori's. We love her. She's been around for many years and she's had a great career as a musician. She's a visionary, we believe. And
oh, yeah.
We're totally on board with her in terms of her vision and her experiences. And we really connect with her as an artist and as a woman, you know,
Definitely.
The goddess that I am, the goddess that Ash is, connects with the goddess that Tori is.
That's for sure. And we want all of you, like whoever's listening, whoever has a, you know, just call us and tell us what you think about maybe what we've said or your ideal around Christmas, et cetera, et cetera. Even Janice Schramm, who is going to call in and share a story about her father.
And before that, though, I just want to touch mm-hmm. on Kwanzaa.
This was the fourth
one that we were going to talk about because we've got Diwali and Hanukkah and Christmas
yeah.
and the ancient tradition of Mithra and Horus, but we also have Kwanzaa. And
Kwanzaa's amazing.
Well, it's pretty cool because it's it was actually founded by controversial black nationalist Ron Karenga in California and first celebrated December 26, 1966. So this is the newest.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a religion. He specifically says that it wasn't to be a religion. It's chosen to give a black alternative to the existing holiday and give blacks an opportunity to celebrate themselves and history rather than a specific like imitating the practice of a dominant society. So he was actually just wanting to bring freedom. It was mostly honored and observed exclusively by Americans in the U.S. But I thought it was such a cool. I love the name Kwanzaa.
I love it too.
They also, again, we're talking about light. And it's a week-long secular holiday that honors the African culture and traditions. And it features activities such as candle lighting. There you go. And pouring of libations, which is, again, the feast, and culminating in the feast and gift-giving, right? So you've got libations, you've got your quenching your thirst, you've got the food, and you've got the gift, which is appreciation of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I just really thought that was interesting. I didn't realize Kwanzaa was such a new holiday.
Yeah.
It's not, right? It's not even a holiday. I'd say it's more of a celebration and more of an acknowledgement again. And it's definitely very deep. It's got seven principles, and the seven are unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. So if you were to take those seven principles of Kwanzaa, incorporate them into Christmas, into Hanukkah, into Diwali, I bet you would find each and every one of them there. And again, just to reiterate, each of these celebrates light. And what light is to me is illumination.
Yeah.
Light is lack of fear. Right? There is no fear. You have a dark room. You sit in a dark room. You're afraid. You don't know what is in the dark room. You don't even know how large the dark room is. You don't know if you step, you know, in front of you, if you're going to trip over something in the dark room. You bring a light to the dark room, and mm-hmm. everything is revealed. And there is safety and security in that. So I find it interesting that each religion celebrates light. And I mm-hmm. often, when I'm signing a salutation, I will often say love and light. And I do truly believe in the importance of light. So we have Jax online, too. Hello, Jax.
Hey, how's it going?
It's
good.
Hey,
how are you?
What's going on with you?
Oh, stuff. Just stuff.
Stuff called life stuff?
But, I don't know. It's a crazy week because Carrie's in the hospital detoxing to get off her pain meds to see how things go forward. So makes for an interesting week.
Well, I could relate to her because I detoxed off of benzos, which are the pain meds and whatnot, and that is the worst detox. It's so excruciating. And you do need hospitalized, you know, you need to be watched by a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
So I'm sorry that you're going through
that. Makes it a little different, but, you know.
Well, there's light on the other side of this, right? You're kind of in the dark. You're in the valley right now with her.
Maybe, assuming. Who knows? That's the thing. It's all unknown. So, you know, you hope that something will become useful out of this process and not just an exercise and, wow, that sucked. So,
yeah.
You never know. You just go, we have to try something. So, and hopefully she'll be back out. We'll push for her to be back out for Christmas itself. So,
well, that would be wonderful. How do you feel about the holiday season right now? I mean, you've got this worry, no doubt.
Well, I mean, usually I'm actually really big on Christmas. My family's big on Christmas. I think they got bigger on it even after we left. Like, my parents collect antique ornaments and stuff, so they'll have multiple Christmas trees up, and it's always been a big thing. We always got, like, Christmas ornaments from throughout childhood. So as an adult, I never had to buy Christmas ornaments because I already have a full tree from childhood. So it's always just this thing, you know. And, you know, as growing up, it was always a religious thing. But also, I mean, you know, we enjoyed, I think our generations grew up with, you know, Santa Claus and the Rudolph specials and, you know, Frosty the Snowman and stuff, so we have a very secular aspect to it, not just the real. And then as I get older, it gets, like, more secular in a sense, but to me it's like it's all about, you know, like, the time is magical, and not because of anything religious or anything else, but it's like, you know, going way back, I think in our deep cultural memories, we probably have this aspect of, you know, winter solstice and, you know, it's the darkest time of the year, so we, you know, we light lights to try to bring our spirits up in the middle of the depths of winter. And so I think there's always that aspect of, you know, in the middle of winter, you should have some celebration. And, you know, we have lots of sparkling lights and shiny things and glittery things. These are all things that I enjoy because they're just, it brings up this sort of magical feeling, even though it's, we know exactly what it is or whatever. So, you know, you see your neighborhoods transformed and, you know, it's everyone, most people at least, you know, try a little harder to be nice and, you know, they reconnect if, even if it's just that one time a year. You know, it's to me, it's there's this magical element to it. And even there was a cool special on NPR talking about the different ways the holidays are celebrated. It might have been on, like, Travel with Rick Steves or whatever that show is. And what was common, even if, like, they didn't have Santa Claus or, you know, maybe they something, there was always an element of, like, presents or, like, sweets or something coming. May have come from Santa. It may have come from the Christ Child. May have come from, I think it's France or Italy. There was some weird, like, witch-looking woman that would bring things, or it'd be like Saint Nick. But there was always like this element of, like, you know, someone would be able to magically bring something to all the children, and I think that sense of wonder and, you know, like, I don't know. It's, there's just a magic to it that is really hard to describe and, like, that keeps me wanting to believe that there could be a Santa Claus and, you know, things like that. I think it's a time when you can suspend disbelief for a little while and just try to enjoy the season. So.
That's it's a sense of innocence. You know, I just totally forgot that I used to get presents from Saint Nick. I forgot about that dude. And tried so hard for me to not forget him. That's so good. Well, that's really cool that you called in to share that. And yeah, we love
true.
Talking to you.
It's the magic of it. And I like how you've described it
really well,
beautifully, to bring in light and sparkle and celebration, even just like our aesthetically, right? To excite us,
yeah,
with our eyes, to excite us even with our ears with these beautiful songs. And yeah, it's
exactly.
and with our sense of smell, with the baking of gingerbread and
or oranges,
yeah,
Christmas trees and,
yeah,
oh yeah, the smells of Christmas are the best smells of the year.
Definitely. Well, that's,
yeah,
beautiful. We love you very much, and,
yeah,
we love Carrie, and our thoughts and our highest prayers will go to her and to you as you guys go through this. And just believe, you know, believe that everything is taking you to the next level. And sometimes it's hard to believe that, you know, it feels, you know, there's a lot of whys as opposed to answers, but
that's inspiring.
Or never knowing when. The win,
exactly,
is the annoying part.
Yeah. And if you need cheering
yeah,
up,
so
I'm totally,
you guys have a great, great holiday season.
I will totally send you an MP3 of your choice.
What
we
song
will.
Do you want? What song do you want? What songs do you want, Jack?
I probably have them all, so it's not that.
We'll send you our next
one. I'm pretty sure I have them all, so I'll have to check.
Okay, well, we love you, and thanks for calling in.
And thank you for your holiday wishes.
Right.
We send them back to you, okay? Okay,
love
all the
you too.
Best.
Have a great time.
Okay, much love. Bye, Jax. All right, we have Ashley's mom on line one. This is Janice Schramm. Hello, Mrs. Schramm.
Hello.
Hey, I know where you
doing?
Are right now.
And you know what? The soup was great. Thank you, Cheryl.
Oh, you're welcome. She made soup. And she fed them.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, you know, just Christmases, how they've changed over the generations, how I used to listen. My dad passed away on the 2nd of December here, and we just finished the funeral last week. That's Ash's grandpa. And how we celebrate Christmas now and how we celebrated Christmas when I was young and how my dad celebrated Christmas when they were young, how it's changed through the years. When he was little, they were poor and they were on the farm and they had like 9 kids and everybody, you know, there was no stores. You had your meat from the farm. You had a silo of wheat and that's where your bread came from and everything and, your vegetables in the root cellar and you ate what you had. There was no going to buy anything. You had the eggs from the chickens, and they had something. Their Christmas was very pious, very religious, and my grandmother used to tell me that all the kids would gather around the table and everybody'd sit down for their Christmas dinner, but they weren't allowed to eat anything until there was a place at the end of the table, and that seat was taken by somebody that didn't have a home or didn't have a family or somebody that's, you know, another poor person, like a vagabond on the farms, and there was a lot of them in those days. So, you know, the spirit of giving, of accepting, of loving was, I think, more in those days. So, and then afterwards, they would take peanuts, because they didn't even have fruit out on the farm, so they'd take peanuts, and they'd throw it into the hay, and all the kids would go searching for these peanuts, and wow, that was just something, you know, that was
Didn't you tell me before, too, that they weren't allowed to eat? Didn't you tell me before that they weren't allowed to eat until they fed the animals, too?
Yes, and yeah, and that before they even sat down to the table, they had to take whatever they were eating and go to the barn and feed the pigs and feed the horses and the cows what they were eating, because they were showing reverence to the animals, because the animals were the ones that were sustaining their lives. So it was showing like a respect to the animals, because these animals gave milk, these animals gave eggs, these animals gave, you know, everything to them. The animals sustained them. So, wow, like just that right there, you know, that's how they did their Christmases. And then, you know, everybody helped everybody. Everybody had a sense of charity, you know, because they were poor themselves. So, you know, they knew what it was like not to have. So they shared what little they had more freely. And then when I was growing up, I had, again, we were not wealthy. We were poor, but we didn't know we were poor. You know, I mean, everybody around us was the same caliber, except, you know, the people down the street had an electric stove and we had a wood stove, and that was the only difference between us. And, again, my grandmother raised me, so it was the same thing. We'd have the food. Everything was canned. Everything was frozen. Everything was fresh, you know, so it was off her garden. So we didn't go to the store and buy and this and that. So to us, it was normal. And then I remember my dad, this is his most memorable Christmas, and, I wanted a Barbie house. So it was snowing so hard that we couldn't drive into downtown New West from where we lived. So we got on a bus and we went down and we got this Barbie house downtown New West, and there was Christmas lights and there was people walking and it was just snowing and it was so beautiful. And coming back on the bus with my dad, and how we came home, and we got off the bus, and we fell into a snowbank, and we couldn't get up, and we were laughing, and I was like 8 years old. That was his most memorable Christmas.
And now you get to share it with us, that's
pardon
beautiful.
Me?
I said, and now you get to share it with us.
Yeah, his memory can live on.
Yeah.
And
then with our Christmas, when I had Ash, that's when our Christmases started, because you just don't know the joy of Christmas until you have a child to have it with, because what you do is you live through them the Christmases, the excitement, the presents, the lights, everything just becomes fresh again, you know, when you're sharing it with your child, the excitement of everything. And I remember Ash, when she'd come downstairs or wherever we lived, before she opened a present, I would make her sing Happy Birthday to Jesus.
Because every Christmas I had to sing to Jesus.
That's cute.
Happy Birthday to Jesus, because I wanted her to know what Christmas was. It wasn't Santa Claus coming down the chimney. It was Jesus' birthday, and that's what we were celebrating. Just like, you know, Hanukkah, they're celebrating their celebration, and these other you know, faith celebrate their celebrations. Well, this was our celebration. It's a Christian celebration Christmas. So she, that's what she did. She sang Happy Birthday to Jesus. So
Now our listeners have a new insight to Ash, Jen.
Yeah. She was so cute. She was just, she was so excited.
I said she's still cute.
I know. She's adorable.
Thank you so much for sharing that memory with us.
Welcome. So it's just the memories. And one thing I want to say is people should carry on the charity that they think should be around Christmas, helping the poor, helping this one, helping that one. That should be all year. That should not be just something that you do at Christmas.
Exactly.
You just open your eyes and look around and see where the need is, and that's where you step forward.
Exactly. Thank you, Janice, because that's exactly how we're going to
tie this up.
Thank you. We love you.
We love you.
And thank you for
love
all
you. I love you more.
Thanks for the Chinese food.
Okay.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you. Love
bye.
Bye. That was Ash's mom. She's amazing. And, you know, you've got a great mother. And and you've learned from the best. You've got great parents. And they definitely are love in action. And I really respect your family because I see love in action with your family. And this is how we're going to tie our show up. I've got this to say. The universal spirit of the season is always magnified, no matter what religion, at the intention of wanting unity. And in a way, we can liken this holiday spirit to the festivities of Valentine's Day, because Valentine's is about love. And love should be given freely all year. And the bond of unity should be encouraged all year round and not divided into delegated arrangements. And that is a beautiful thing, and that's exactly what Jan just said. You know, she just said, we need to practice love in action, our gratitude. We have abundance, let's share it. So if you see someone around you who has need, give them what they need. Buy a meal, open a door, feed a meter, give them smiles, hand out blankets, coats for the homeless. Wherever you feel compelled and impelled to share, please do. We encourage that. Show love in action. We will show love in action. And if we all do this together, what a great world we can have. So happy holidays to all of you. We're going to end our program with our song,
Joy No Longer
Divided, because that's exactly what this song is saying. It's saying that we must not divide. We must all be joyous, celebrate each other, celebrate life and living. God bless you. Goddess bless you. Mother, Father, God, Infinite Spirit, whatever you choose to say. We are in unity with you. We love you.
Call us, Tori.
Call us, Tori. We got to talk. Bye. Happy holidays.
The crystal ship has sailed through. The glass of feathers are ruffled through. Life as I know is gone by again. I call to you, my feathered friend. And ask forgiveness, give light and love. These things do not come from up above, but from within and all around. The world is made of me, it's clown. Joy no longer divided. We all are one and sided. So come on, baby, write it. Hell in it, we're united. We are united. Joy no longer divided. But I have cleansed my tattered sins from the beginning and back again. Help me not to see the end, for it does not exist, my bitter friend. Release the hounds and horses' screams. Let the sound of shivers break. Crying gone and love for sale. I am a knight of Castle's Bay. Join the united. divine.